Yeah. DC. Turn the lights on the diamond. Man. This that 260 dug out. Mic up, DC in the chair, talking Fort Wayne dirt. Red clay in the air, from the sandlot days. Scrape knees, hand-me-down gloves to park few nights. Packed seats, hometown love, Summer City sluggers, little homies with a dream. Little league lines, chalk bright, fresh seams. Ask the guests how it started, how they carried the doubt. Now they legends in the making on the 260 dugout. Yeah, it's that 260 dugout. Pull up, let the stories come out. From the cages to the lights, that's what we about. Four ain't on the cow, we ain't never gonna bow out. 260 dugout.
Say it.
Say it. 260 dugout.
Louder.
From the kids to the pros, that's the route. Every dream gets a swing in the 260 dugout.
Parkview Field, see the 10 caps play. Sunset sitting on the third baseline all day. Cold drink, crowd buzz, first pitch in the dirt. Whole city in the stands, rocking same logo shirts. DC talking with the voices that we grew up around. Ground crew to the coaches that protected the mound. If you ever felt that pressure with two strikes and two out, you already know the feeling of the 260 dugout. Yeah,
it's that 260 dugout. Pull up, let the stories come out. From the cages to the lights, that's what we about. Four ain't on the cap, we ain't ever gonna bow out. 260 dugout.
Say it.
260 dugout.
Louder.
From the kids to the pros, that's the route. Every dream gets a swing in the 260 dugout.
From the backstop fence to the radio waves.
Radio waves.
Every small town spark, every big league craze.
Big league craze.
If you ever caught hope in the palm of your hand, you part of this story, you part of this land.
It's that 260 dugout. Pull up, let the stories come out. From the cages to the lights, that's what we about. Four ain't on the cap, we ain't never gonna bow out. 260 dugout.
Hey.
260 dugout.
And this is the 260 Dugout Podcast. I am your host, DC Hendricks. Special shout out to all of our sponsors, Old Ford Baseball Company, my good buddy Logan Weening. Of course, go check out the website at oldbaseballco.com. Blaine McRae and McRae Pitching Dev over at Mad Apple Baseball. And of course, our good friends over at McMahon's Best One Auto, Coach Bubba McMahon and his staff at McMahon's Best One will take care of you. They have locations spread out all around Indiana and even a little bit of Ohio as well. So be sure to get those auto service needs serviced at McMahon's Best One Auto. Special thanks to everyone that has tuned into this season, as this is the final episode of the 260 Dugout Season 2. So many thank yous. I mean, where do we even begin other than our sponsors? You know, of course, we got to go over to GSP Hitting as well. My good buddy Justin Glass over there doing great things, working with all the top hitters in the area, taking their game to the next level, both baseball and softball. So if you need those hitting needs, you need to take that hitting to the next level. Go ahead and hit up Justin Glass, hit up GSP Hitting, and see what they can do for you, because they're doing it for all the top hitters in the area, and it's showing. Results show. And, you know, So be sure to check them out as well. But number one to thank definitely the sponsors. Without them, this show does not happen, because I do put in some work to this, you know, weekly episode. I do a little research. I go out to games. I get out and interview kids. It's a lot of work on top of, you know, things that, you know, the normal daily life. So without the sponsors, it doesn't happen. So they're the first to thank, of course, you know, starting this show. And a special thanks, as I always say, to Logan Weening of 04 Baseball Company for being the first to believe in this show, first to believe in me. My very first episode was sponsored by 04 Baseball Company last year. Very first episode, the pilot episode, first ever. Before the success, before the awards, before all the notoriety, Logan Weening and 04 Baseball Company was there first. So that's why I dedicated an episode to him before the season ended last week. So he deserves it. And of course, you, the listeners, you know, I get out and I go to games, I attend practices, and, you know, people stop me all the time. Hey, you know, I really enjoy the podcast, really love what you're doing with that. You know, softball coaches are coming up to me, giving me a hard time that I need to cover softball more, which will be done next year. Season 3, I'm going to do a little bit more softball, baseball and softball, but a lot more softball coming up next year. I did a few interviews this year, but a little bit more softball coming up. I might have to do more episodes next year, to be honest, because there's so much that happens in a season. There's so much moving, so many moving parts, so much stuff going on. It happens so quickly. And I don't know if one episode a week is enough. So we're going to be, you know, fine tuning that, you know, things like that coming up for next year's pod. But yeah, definitely looking forward to season three. As this season, I can't thank people enough. I definitely have to thank the Northeast Indiana Baseball Association, of course, for nominating me for the award, the Bob Parker Award for media coverage for baseball in Northeast Indiana. Can't thank them enough for that opportunity. You know, I'm only in season two of this pod, but I definitely, like I said, you know, I do take pride in the work that I do and the coverage that I, you know, provide for the area, whether it's baseball. And like I said, softball will be getting a lot more coverage as well. Like I was at a football game this past Friday and I got stopped by a softball coach and, you know, they were giving me a hard time. Nothing too crazy, but just, yeah, need a little bit more softball love. So I'll be doing that next year. But yeah, the NEIBA for nominating me for the Bob Parker Award definitely meant a lot to me this year. You know, as someone that, you know, wasn't able to play at like any high levels of baseball, I have coached and do give back to the game in any way that I can. And one of those ways is this podcast. This is my way to give back to the game that I love, to the game that changed my life forever. So that's what this podcast is for. It's to highlight, you know, the present, future, and past of baseball in Northeast Indiana. And I try to do it to the best of my ability. So also special thanks to all the coaches, you know, whether it's Little League, high school coaches, college coaches, for providing me with all the stats, all the stories that I need, you know, being more than gracious to come on the show and talk to me for 15, 20 minutes, talking the game of baseball. Special thanks, of course, to World Baseball Academy, O4 Baseball Company, and OPS for hosting the first ever High School Baseball Media Day this past season. And it was an absolute success. Next year will be even bigger. More teams will be in attendance, so we'll make sure to give some love to more area teams and not schedule it when an entire conference is on spring break. So, yeah, next year is going to be much bigger. Season three is going to be absolutely huge for this show, and I look forward to taking it to the next level. A couple of shout-outs as well. One of the top pitchers in the area, I wanted to make sure to give him a shout-out because he just made his college commitment, and he was tearing it up this season. And I told him when he made his college commitment this past week, I told him I wanted to give him a shout out on the podcast. So Lucas Collins, who is one of the top pitchers in the area, not only the area, but the state, for the class of 2027, he's a pitcher from Garrett High School. He just made his college commitment to Liberty. So he's going to be pitching at Liberty Baseball coming up next year, made his commitment this past week, and he definitely deserves that and a whole lot more. He was a guest on this show this past season as well. But yeah, looking forward to him tearing it up at the next level. Isaiah Snavely, I want to give him a shout out. Obviously, in case you haven't heard, his family is moving to Zionsville. He's attending Zionsville High School and no longer a Snyder Panther, but he will always be 260 in my heart. So I do want to give him a shout out. Special shout out to Trey Deckman from Columbia City, who's going on to play at the next level at the University of Michigan. He was on this podcast twice in the last season. Once, you know, when all the players were nominated for the NEIBA Crumback Player of the Year, he was one of the finalists. I interviewed him then, and also did another interview with him after he won the award for the Crumback Player of the Year, High School Player of the Year, because he also committed to Michigan. He decommitted from Ball State and recommitted and made his commitment to Michigan. So I brought him on the show again. So special shout out to him. Special shout out to Jim Shevlin, a good buddy of mine. He's an assistant coach for the JV at Leo, but also hosts Talking Sports on 1380 The Fan, 100.9 FM. And more importantly, just a good friend of mine, you know, that I'm going to cherish that friendship forever. He's a big baseball mind that I love, you know, to pitch ideas to and talk to about the game of baseball. So special shout out to him. Special shout out to Matt Harmon as well, my former high school baseball coach, helping bring the love back. You know, that moment where he became the coach at Southside High School, it was my junior year, 2008. I was a junior playing baseball, got back into the game of baseball after taking a couple years off. I was too cool to play, at least I thought I was. And he got me back into the game that I loved and helped me with, bring back that, you know, love and passion for the game. And ever since then, it's been back. So since 2008, my love for the game of baseball has been back and better than ever. And in special thanks to him, and I know he's doing great things over at Blackhawk, Georgetown Little League. So he's doing great things. So shout out to Matt Harmon as well. Hope I'm not missing anyone. There's so many people to thank, you know, not only for this podcast, but just for my passion, you know, for the game of baseball. Special shout out to, of course, Bubba McMahon, coach of Canterbury, one of the top baseball minds in the area. Dean Learman, who just retired from Heritage, stepping away and, you know, taking his next step in his life. Special shout out, of course, to Gary Rogers, head coach of Leo, another one of the top baseball minds in the area, long time, you know, leading Wildcat as well, which is near and dear to my heart. That's where I started. And that's where a lot of people started, at Wildcat. So special shout out to him as well. Shout out to DeKalb coach Colin Bice, who has been a guest on the show as well, but also just providing me with, you know, stats and details and things like that. He's got a loaded class of 27, you know, group of players on his team that I think are going to be a force to be reckoned with coming up next year, just to give an early tease. Homestead. Special thanks to the Homestead Spartans, as it seems like every time I, you know, talk to either a former player or a current player, it's always a Homestead player. As a matter of fact, my final guest on the podcast for this week's episode, as we kind of transition, you know, is a former Homestead Spartan. He's going on. He's played a little bit of college ball here locally, but he has made his new college commitment. He's got a new program, and he's going to be going to Arizona State. And his name is Jacob Bardwell, who is the older brother of Shane Bardwell, who is the running back and a player on the Homestead baseball team who just made his college commitment to Army. So tons of moving parts, but Jacob Bardwell, who's going to play for Arizona State, former Homestead Spartan, will be my final guest on this episode. So all the shout outs, all the special thanks to everyone out there. I could not do this without you, and I hope you remain with me for season 3. I cannot thank you all enough. So without further ado, let's go ahead and welcome our final guest of season 2 of the 260 Dugout Podcast. Let's go ahead and bring on Jacob Bardwell.
If you're listening right now, I want you to picture this scenario. You're on your way to practice or running late for a game. We all do it. You hop in the car, you get it started. Just like that, boom, tire pressure light comes on. Brakes start squeaking. Dashboard lights up like the stadium lights on a Friday night. But don't stress. Relax. Take it to McMahon's Best One Auto. They got you from quick oil changes and flat tire repairs to brakes, alignments, and engine diagnostics. And just like that, they'll get you back on the road fast. That way you don't miss practice, the game, or hanging out with your friends. With 8 locations in Fort Wayne, New Haven, Lima, Ohio, and Bryan, Ohio, McMahon's Best One's got your back. So why wait? Schedule your appointment today at McMahon'sBestOneTire.com. McMahon's Best One, keeping you ready for game day.
A lot going on. You know, kids are going back to school, so not a lot of high school level stuff. College level kids are going back to school, so it's football season. So I wanted to make sure to get this last episode in before we get too deep into football season. College football is going to be starting up. NFL is going to be starting up. High school football has already started. So it's almost football season, if it probably already is for a lot of people. But I wanted to wrap up the season with this next guest. We have the one and only Jacob Bardwell. We got a lot to talk about today. Jacob, what's going on?
What's up? Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
It's been a long time coming. We've been trying to get this this episode for a little bit, and we finally got it today, and I am very, very excited to talk with you. But before we get started into what you're going to be up to this next season, I do got to ask, that is definitely a last name that rings a bell, especially if I was covering high school baseball this past year. There's a little stud baseball player from Homestead High School. His name is Shane Bardwell. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, that's my little brother. He's senior, is playing football and baseball at Homestead right now, just committed to Army.
Yeah, he's going to Army, and he's also a running back for those that, you know, in case you like to get a little Friday night lights. He's one of the top running backs in the SAC as well, one of the top leading backs from in terms of yardage from last year. But yeah, he's going to Army. So what did you, talk about that too. I mean, as an older brother, you see your little brother commit, he's going to Army. What's your thoughts, and where do you stand with that? You got to be happy for him.
Yeah, I know. It's he's super excited about it. I think it's an opportunity that not a lot of people can say they get. And I think it was just too hard to turn down for him. So I'm on board with him. I think it was a great decision for him and his future. I think it'll set him up for life after that as well. So I think he made a really good decision.
Yeah, super happy for him. Definitely a big decision that, you know, super exciting, you know, to be playing at the next level anyway, no matter what college. But Army, that's a big deal. So very, yeah, very, very happy for him. So for you, before we get started, your next step, catch us up. Where did you play high school baseball? What year did you graduate?
I played high school at Homestead. I graduated in 2024.
So who were some of your teammates that also went on? That was a loaded team too. Who were some of your teammates that went on to play college ball?
Yeah, so my senior year, we had Mason Maber. We had Ryan Mikloff, Luke Neisonger, who's on to doing big things now. We had Alex Graber. We had, I think I might be forgetting a few, but for as far as college baseball, I think from my senior year, it was the only seniors that went on were me, my twin brother, and then Alex and Mason.
That's a loaded team. That's a lot of guys. Luke Neisonger, who he's been on this show before, I think at the beginning part of the season. So definitely, you know, Homestead always is loaded with talent and pitchers. And so, yeah, another great Homestead team right there. So talk about some of your memories, you know, playing high school baseball. And I, you know, the main part of this podcast, I know I do a lot of high school coverage because it's so good in this area and there's not a lot of coverage, and I think it deserves more. But high school baseball in the 260 area code, just reflect on some of your favorite memories playing ball at Homestead or even for any travel organizations or anything.
Yeah. So at Homestead, I was only on varsity my senior year. So JV was fun, you know, like it was made a lot of memories there, but it wasn't anything like super crazy. But my senior year, I think I had the most fun by far, just being with the guys I played with growing up. And then that run to state made it to, I think, the second game in semi-state that year. That was a lot of fun. So I think high school, that was one of my favorite memories. And then travel ball, I kind of bounced around a little bit when I was younger, played with the Spikes for a year, the Sluggers for a year, the Summit City Spartans for, I think, two. And then I ended up in my last 4 years with the Indiana Chargers, for all the way up till I think 17U, I played with them.
Man, a lot of bouncing around. So my first question, you know, coming off of that is, so you only played varsity baseball your senior year. And obviously before we even get to where you're going next, which is crazy to think of, since you've only played 1 year of varsity baseball at the high school level. Did that discourage you at all? Because I know a lot of kids are wanting to, you know, especially the talented ones, they want to play right out of the gate. They want to be, you know, true freshmen playing at the varsity level, get that letter. Was that discouraging for you at all? What, you know, how was that in terms of your mindset?
Yeah, no, I think it wasn't really discouraging. I think it was more motivating, just knowing that I had to get better and become a better pitcher. I did play both sides, like at JV, but I just knew, just being lefty, I would just be better off pitching. So I think it was just more motivating more than anything, to kind of just grow as a pitcher and try and get as better as possible. So I wouldn't say it was really discouraging. I mean, it did like suck, obviously, you know, like we all want to play some varsity baseball at high school, but at the end of the day, I think I was more motivated than anything.
That's good. So go into your senior season, you finally get this opportunity to play varsity baseball after, you know, basically waiting around for your opportunity. So, I mean, I don't want to say mindset, but what were you trying to accomplish, you know, going in? Because I imagine, did you have any colleges after you at that point either? So, like, how did all of that, going into your senior season and finally playing ball, how did that all play out for you?
Yeah, so I'll start, like, junior, I think, summer or winter going into my senior year. I did, like, maybe one PBR event. I wasn't throwing that hard at all. And I think I went to a couple camps, and then like this is September, so before my senior year, I had a couple, I had like one JUCO offer. They didn't offer me any money. They just offered me a spot. And then I had a Division II offer, which I ended up taking going into my senior year. But that was really just because I went to their camp. So I didn't really have all that many looks out of high school. You know, I was crafty. I just didn't throw hard enough to get the looks that I wanted. So I ended up going there out of high school. So it wasn't really anything crazy. I played for a local team, Chargers. They're starting to get into some bigger tournaments now, I believe. But, I mean, I just played in some tournaments in Indy, and then some local ones. And then we'd travel maybe sometimes to Ohio. But it was nothing really crazy for me coming out of high school.
That's wild to think of, especially when you consider you're, what, 6'5", like – 220 lefty. That's with, you know, with a variety of different, don't you throw a fork ball too?
Yes, I do.
That's wild. That's wild. So you go to this small, you know, you end up going to a small college, and then, so talk about how that process played after high school. You go to the small school. So tell us, the things you've been working on, because you're now going to Arizona State. Yep. Which is super awesome. You're going to Arizona State to play baseball, which is, that's a solid program. So what are some, what do you believe and what do you attribute the success to in order for you to, after all this journey, to be able to say you're going to play baseball for Arizona State?
Yeah, you know, I failed a lot, and I think in baseball that's just going to happen. But so, like, I'm truly grateful that I failed that much, because I think it helped me grow as a pitcher and be where I'm at today. So like after my freshman year, I decided to transfer to a local school, St. Francis. And that summer, so before going there, I realized what I needed to do is, I was still throwing slow. I mean, velocity right now is, you can say what you want about it, but like, you just have to be throwing hard enough, because you just won't get those looks if you're not. So I decided just to, that summer, just grind velocity. Saw major gains that summer. I think I hit my first 90 that summer going into St. Francis. So I was super excited to play for St. Francis and Dustin Butcher, great guys over there. And then going into the spring, I mean, I kind of, it just didn't really go the way I wanted it to. And I mean, I had a great fall there. And then the spring, I just didn't, it just didn't click for me. And I think that failure ultimately helped me in the long run, just because now I know how to mentally prepare for it and work from that. So after my time at St. Francis, Butcher was really open. I was like, hey, if I get a look this summer, I was playing in the Northwoods League this past summer, and if I get any looks, like, I might take it. I just want to let you know, but I'm not going to take anything that I don't think will be worth my development. So yeah, Arizona State reached out pretty late. Had a couple phone calls with them, talked with the head coach, and ultimately decided that it would be in my best interest to take the offer they gave me. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
That's so wild. That's awesome. Yeah, and like, so what do you think, you know, and I'm sure they told you some things that they like in your tools and, you know, what you bring, you know, what you provide for their program. But in addition to what they told you, what do you think you provide, you know, in order to, you know, be recruited by a school like Arizona State?
Yeah, I think just being different, and like a lot of pitchers these days, like righty over the top, throwing 95 plus. That's like power four schools. That's what you need to be successful. And I think just also being different is another route that way. So, you know, like I said, at a young age, like, I developed pretty late. I didn't have any of that stuff. I mean, I was always like a funky lefty, lower slot, big breaker, the forkball, but I just never was really that talented. So growing up, so I think gaining velocity was a big part of that. But also, I did drop the slot even more. So I'm like true sidearm now. And I think just being different and giving hitters a different look and showing them something that they haven't really seen before. So I think that was a big piece of why Arizona State wanted to take a chance on me.
So tell me what you've been up to this summer. I've seen you were playing in a league and, you know, putting out highlights and kind of even, you know, promoting yourself for recruitment. Talk about what you were doing and up to this summer.
Yeah. So I was in the Northwoods League with the new team, Richmond Flying Mummies. It was a new team this year. I was pitching more out of the bullpen, closing, 8 appearances around 8 innings. And I struggled a little bit. Like I said, in the spring, I struggled a little bit, but I also had some really dominant outings. And I think that helped me just see what I could do with my talents. I just ultimately had to be more consistent. So I think, being more consistent with that, I had a lot of good outings, especially at the end. I pitched really well and my velocity was there. So I was kind of putting it all together near the end of my, I just did a first half contract there. So yeah, near the end, I kind of put it together. And I think a couple schools reached out. And I think that's what kind of gave myself a chance to play at the Division I level.
Yeah, that's awesome. So where do you go from here? You have a few years left of eligibility, I believe. So where do you go from here? So what are you kind of fine tuning this fall, and what are you up to in order to prepare? Because, you know, Division I, I'm sure you already know, I don't got to tell you this, it's a whole new ball game. So what have you been working on for that?
Yeah, it's a big step for me, especially just coming from an NAI. I'm going to be working on, the only thing I think I need to work on, like the velocities, it's going to start keep ticking up just as my strength grows. So I'm pretty much just only working on throwing strikes. It sounds simple, but I think that's what is going to set me apart. Once I can consistently be in the zone with all my pitches, I think that's what is going to set me apart. So I think this fall is what I'm really going to tune into, is just commanding the baseball as much as I can.
So tell me the pitches you throw. I've heard you throw like 3, 4, or 5 pitches. What pitches do you throw, and where are you sitting with those?
Yeah, so my sinker and slider are my bread and butter right now. My sinker's usually around 87, 90. I've touched 92 with it. And then my slider is my second pitch. It's a big sweeper. It's around 77, upper mid to upper sevens. So, and that's up to like 20 inches of break around there. And then my sinker's like 17, so around 30, 35 inches of separation there. And then the forkball, I've been throwing that for a while. That one is lower spin, just kind of drops. And then my cutter is a new pitch that I've been working on, trying to get more like a harder, almost like a four seam look, because my sinker runs so much. I wanted to get more of like a straight or just a little cut to the glove side a little bit with that. So that's my new pitch. So that's all 4 pitches that I'm throwing right now.
That's crazy. So as we have some high schoolers, I know that listen, or parents, when did you learn to throw those pitches?
Yeah, the forkball, I get a lot of questions about. I threw that, I think, starting in 12U. Like I had pretty big hands growing up, and I just saw like a YouTube video on it or something, and I just started throwing it. And I saw success with it pretty early, so I just kind of stuck with it. I didn't really have, I threw like the circle change up, I messed with the kick change, and I just didn't really see the movement or profile that I wanted. So I ultimately just stuck with the forkball. And that's then awesome. My slider and sinker, I mean, like my, I want to say I was throwing over the top till my junior year of high school, and then it kind of slowly started dropping. So I think I've always thrown a two seam, but then it just kind of turned more into a sinker as the slot dropped. And then I want to say I've been throwing the slider for the same amount of time. And then the cutter I started throwing about a year ago. I messed with the four seam a little bit and the cutter, just going back and forth, but that one is the new one.
That's exciting stuff, man. Arizona State is the next step. I'm super happy for you. They're getting a great young man that's got a lot of talent. So, and I'm sure they know that. I'm super excited for you, man. Good luck this fall. Good luck, you know, working towards that. And I look forward to seeing you. I'm looking forward to seeing highlights. I look forward to scrolling Twitter and possibly seeing you striking out some people. Because I've seen your stats. You said you didn't do that well this summer, but I mean, you only gave up one hit. So, I mean, don't undersell it. You only gave up one hit in your eight innings, so that's pretty solid. Don't be so hard on yourself. There's a reason Arizona State wanted you. So very, very happy for you. Excited for your next journey. Excited for your little brother as well, as he's, you know, following in your footsteps, following Big Bro. So very, very excited for you and your little brother's, you know, next part of your journey. And thank you so much for coming on, man.
Yeah, I truly appreciate you having me, and I look forward to what else you have going on in the Fort Wayne. I think there's a lot of talent in Fort Wayne right now, and they deserve to get some looks. So thanks for having me.
I love it, man. Take care and stay in touch, okay?
Yep, will do.
And thanks. Good luck.
Bye.